जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोरानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना यशोरानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरा वन यमुना तीरा वन जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोरानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना यशोरानंदना ब्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरावन थारे यमुना तीरावन थारे राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तरस्तु श्री श्रीमदेशि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय कौंतराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय नितय गौर परमानंदे हरि हरि बोल समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय आदय श्री समलवर्ती आदय श्री समलवर्ती आदय श्री समलवर्ती आदय श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नमो
भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta, Text Number 26. Word meanings, Trinavarta, the demon Trinavarta, Shantaraya, the force of the blast reduced, Vakya Rupa Dhara, who had assumed the form of a forceful whirlwind, Haran, and had thus taken away Krishnam, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nabha Gataha, went up to the top of the sky, Gantum, to go no further, Na Ashaknot, was not able, Bhuri Bhara Brit, because Krishna then became more powerful and heavy than the demon. Trinavarta Shantarayo Vachya Rupa Dharo Haran Krishnam Nabho Gato Gantum Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Trinavarta Shantarayo Vatyarupa Dharoharan Krishnam Nabho Gato Gantum Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Trinavarta Shantarayo Vatyarupa Dharoharan Krishnam Nabho Gato Gantum Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Trinavarta Shantarayo Vatya Rupa Dharo Haran Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Trinavarta Shantarayo Vachya Rupa Dharo Haran Krishnam Nabho Gato Gantum Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Trinavarta Shantarayo Vatya Rupa Dharo Haran Krishna Nabho Gato Gantum Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Ladies. Trinavarta Shantarayo Vachya Rupa Dharo Haran Krishnam Nabho Gato Gantum Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Trinavarta Shantarayo Vatya Rupa Dharo Haran Krishna Nabho Gato Gantum Na Shakno Bhuri Bharabrut Translation. Having assumed the form of a forceful whirlwind, the demon Trinavarta took Krishna very high in the sky. But when Krishna became heavier than the demon had to stop his force and could go no further. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Here is a competition in yogic power between Krishna and Trinavarta, Trinavarta Asura. By practicing mystic yoga, asuras generally attain some perfection in the eight siddhis or perfections, namely Anima, Laghima, Mahima, Prapti, Prakanya, Ishitva, Bhashitva, and Kamavasaita. But although a demon may acquire such powers to a very limited extent, he cannot compete with the mystic power of Krishna, for Krishna is Yogeshwara, the source of all mystic power, Yatra Yogeshwaro Hari. No one can compete with Krishna. Sometimes, of course, having acquired a fragmental portion of Krishna's mystic power, asuras demonstrate their power to the foolish public and assert themselves to be God, not knowing that God is the supreme Yogeshwara. Here also we see that Trinavarta assumed the Mahima Siddhi and took Krishna away as if Krishna were an ordinary child. But Krishna also became a mystic Mahima Siddha. When Mother Yashoda was carrying him, he became so heavy that his mother, who was usually accustomed to carrying him, could not bear him and had to place him down on the ground. Thus, Trinavarta had been able to take Krishna away in the presence of Mother Yashoda. But when Krishna, high in the sky, assumed the Mahima Siddhi, the demon, unable to go further, was obliged to stop his force and come down according to Krishna's desire. One should not, therefore, compete with Krishna's mystic power. Devotees automatically have all mystic power, but they do not like to compete with Krishna. Instead, they fully surrender to Krishna, and their yogic power is demonstrated by Krishna's mercy. Devotees can show mystic yoga so powerful that a demon cannot even dream of it, but they never try to demonstrate it for their personal sense gratification. Whatever they do is for the service of the Lord, and therefore they are always in a position superior to that of the demons. There are many karmis, yogis, and jnanis who artificially try to compete with Krishna, and thus ordinary foolish people who do not care to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from authorities consider some rascal yogi to be Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the present moment, there are many so-called Babas who present themselves as incarnations of God by showing some insignificant mystic wonder, and foolish people regard them as God because of lacking knowledge of Krishna. Om Jnanatimrandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Trinavarta Shantarayo Vatya Rupatharoharan Krishna Nabhogato Gantum Nashat Nodhuripara Brit. Having assumed the form of a forceful whirlwind, the demon Trinavarta took Krishna very high in the sky. But when Krishna became heavier than the demon had to stop his force and could go no further. Today we hear something about the eight siddhis, mystic perfections. This word mystic, Prabhupada didn't like this word too much, mystic. He thought it said meant something like misty. Not very clear. But mystic, Krishna is the true mystic. Yogeshwara, yoga, anything attained through yoga, can say is mystic power. What is mystic? Means something that's more or less inconceivable to us or astounding to us. We have also achintya shakti, which Prabhupada often spoke about. Krishna has achintya shakti. Jiva Goswami says, unless you accept that God has achintya shakti, inconceivable powers, then you can't understand God, because obviously he possesses things that you can't imagine. They're far beyond our imagination. But the siddhis are similar. They're called perfections, siddha, siddhi, of course. Siddhi, the word, means perfect. But what are they? They're all material things. These demons, we know they're, of course, they're demons. They're antagonistic to Krishna. But they must have practiced these things. How you get these powers without practicing them. Some of you may remember some years ago, it was about 1983, 84, something like that. I was living in Potomac then. There was some yogi traveling around. I forget what his name was. Traveling around ISKCON. And he could perform some feats. I had the opportunity, we went to a festival from Potomac. He stayed for a few days at the Potomac Temple. We drove him up to Philadelphia for a festival. So we spoke with him a little bit in the car. He didn't do a demonstration there. I think he did one in New Vrindavan. But this yogi had some powers. He could do things. I can only remember a couple of things that he did. I didn't see them myself, but apparently he did them at other temples. One of the things he would do would take an iron rod and push it against his eyeball and bend the rod. And another thing was he would hold a jeep, I think it was. He could hold it, you know, by onto a chain, and the jeep couldn't go. He had enough strength. He could. So we asked him, why did you do, you know, how did you learn these things, first of all? And he said, well, I just practiced. He said, I saw someone doing something someplace in a bazaar in India, and I was so amazed by it. I said, I have to learn how to do this myself. So he found a yogi, a guru, and he lived in the caves in the Himalayas for many years practicing, whatever you do, some kind of meditation or something. And he developed mastery of these certain things. Somehow he had such a strong desire, he just thought this was the goal of life, to learn how to bend rods in your eyeballs or whatever. So he was able to do it. He practiced for a long time and he was able to do it. The Prabhupada used to say you can do anything by practice. So they, obviously to get really advanced mystic powers, generally it takes a long time, about to fly in the sky and so on, these just different powers. He had to practice for a long time, maybe lifetimes. Everything is possible through practice, but it might take you lifetimes of practice to be able to accomplish these things. And then ultimately, what's the point of it? I was going to read just a review of what these siddhis are. There's a verse of Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava where he lays them all out. So I was going to read this translation and the purport there in the 11th canto. 11, 15, 4, and 5. Among the eight primary mystic perfections, the three by which one transforms one's own body are called anima, becoming smaller than the smallest, mahima, becoming greater than the greatest, and laghima, becoming lighter than the lightest. Through the perfection of prapti, one acquires whatever one desires, and through prakamya siddhi, one experiences any enjoyable object, either in this world or the next. Prakamya. Kamya, hear the word kam in there. So whatever you desire, you can get it. Through ishita siddhi, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of maya. So the root of this is isha. Isha means controller. So you can control the energies. Prabhupada would often say Krishna has unlimited potencies. So we tend to think of three major categories, the material, the spiritual, and the marginal. So there are subcategories to all of these different potencies. So when you can manipulate all those subcategories of maya, material energy, that's called ishita siddhi. Through the controlling power potency called vashita siddhi, one is unimpeded by the three modes of nature. One who has acquired kama vashita siddhi can obtain anything from anywhere to the highest possible limit. My dear gentle Uddhava, these eight mystic perfections are considered to be naturally existing and unexcelled within this world. So we'll read on Anamaraja's purport. Through Anima City, one can become so small that one can enter a stone or pass through any obstacle. Through Mahima City, one becomes so great that one covers everything. And through Laghima, one becomes so light that one can ride on the sun's rays into the sun planet. The Prabhupada sometimes speak about this, how yogis can go to different planets. In fact, there's one conversation where Prabhupada says, I have seen yogis, they go on rays of the sun to go to the sun planet. So Prabhupada saw it. So this is called, this is one use of Anima Siddhi. Is it? Was it Anima? No, Laghima, sorry. Laghima means light. Laghu. Laghu Bhagavatamrita. We have Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is great, and Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which is the lighter version. The book itself is lighter, too. Smaller. It's like a summary of it. So Laghima Siddhi means light. So you can be so light, you can travel in the sun's rays to the sun. Through Prapti City, one can acquire anything from anywhere and can even touch the moon with one's finger. This is the one Prabhupada gives an example of someone. He took a pomegranate from Kabul. I don't know where it was, in Bengal maybe. So he says, you want a pomegranate? So here, here's a pomegranate from Kabul, Afghanistan. So that's Prapti City. You can reach out somehow through the subtle space, you get anything from anywhere. You can even touch the moon with one's finger. By this mystic perfection, one can also enter into the senses of any other living entity through the predominating deities of the particular senses. And thus, by utilizing the senses of others, one can acquire anything. That's the way that works. Through Prakamya, one can experience any enjoyable object, either in this world or the next. Through Ishita, or the controlling potency, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of Maya, which are material. In other words, even by acquiring mystic powers, one cannot pass. Let's see, let me read this again. By the controlling potency, one can manipulate the sub-potencies of Maya, which are material. In other words, even by acquiring mystic powers, one cannot pass beyond the control of illusion. However, one may manipulate the subpotencies of illusion. So you're still in illusion, but while you're there, you can play with illusion's potencies. To Vashita, or the power to control, one can bring others under one's dominion. Let's see. Or keep oneself beyond the control of the three modes of nature. Ultimately, one acquires through Kama Vashaita the maximum powers of control, acquisition, and enjoyment. The word Otupatika in this verse indicates being original, natural, and unexcelled. So these are the qualities of these powers. They're original, natural, and unexcelled. These eight mystic potencies originally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In the superlative degree, Lord Krishna becomes so small that he enters within the atomic particles, and he becomes so large that as Mahavishnu he breathes out millions of universes. The Lord can become so light or subtle that even the great mystic yogis cannot perceive him. And the Lord's acquisitive power is perfect because he keeps the total existence eternally within his body. The Lord certainly can enjoy whatever he likes, control all energies, dominate all other persons, and exhibit complete omnipotency. Therefore, it is to be understood that these eight mystic perfections are insignificant expansions of the mystic potency of the Lord, who in Bhagavad Gita is called Yogeshwara, the Supreme Lord of all mystic potencies. These eight perfections are not artificial, but are natural and unexcelled because they originally exist in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now we see what Trinavarta is up against. He's competing with Krishna in mystic power. You can imagine how, if you had these powers, how proud you, puffed up you'd be. Look, I can do this. Some of these, they sound incredible. You can get anything you want. So anything you want in the material world, but what does that mean? Ashanta, you're never peaceful. Because if you can get everything you want, then you're always thinking the next thing. Well, that didn't work. But I can get anything I want, so now let's move on to the next thing. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakala ashanta, Chaitanya Charitamrita says. All these other categories of persons in this world, you know, there are only four categories, kami, yogi, jnani, bhakta. It all boils down to those four kinds of people. So if you're a kami, a jnani, or a yogi, of course a kami, as Prabhupada would say, we would go through this list, the karmis, they're just useless. The yogis and jnanis, at least they're trying something. So the karmis, they're frustrated at every step. Amogam mindate palam. Now in the morning when he's giving instructions to Prahlad within the moon, one of the things he says that the materialistic person is always thinking, has some new desire. This is going to make me happy, but Amogam bindate palam. The fruit is always, it's never there. The happiness, satisfaction they're pursuing, inevitably, Narada Muni says, you're defeated. That's material life. You're always defeated. It's inevitable. So that's the Kami's position. The Jnanis, at least they understand this. This is a losing endeavor, trying to be happy in material life. So let us acquire knowledge. Really, you can see what is the motivation there. It's kind of control. The desire to control one's situation on one's own power. If I understand it, because this is true, isn't it, from our ordinary experience, the more you understand something, the more you're able to control it, use it for your own benefit. So the jnanis are trying to understand whether they want enlightenment. What is their motive? Freedom from suffering may be the motive. Why am I suffering? Let me figure that out. Then I'll be happy. But it's not enough, of course. We know what happens to the jnani. The jnanis, they come down to a certain level. They understand aham brahmasmi. They understand I'm not this body, but they don't understand what to do at that point. They think it stops there in the stage of convalescence. Okay, now you've become free of your disease. Now what's your real activity? They don't understand that. And the yogis are, they're also looking for enlightenment generally, but they become sidetracked because these things start, apparently, as Prabhupada would say, they become attracted by these siddhis. Apparently they start to develop as one matures in yoga practice. You start realizing, hey, I'm floating. I've developed the power to levitate myself. And what else can I do? What other powers can I develop here? And then you can start showing off these powers. You can get following. Get people to do whatever you want them to do. Because material acquisitions, things, may tend to bore after a while. So after things, you go to people. People are much more interesting. Having things under your control, that's not as interesting as having people under your control. Because they can glorify you and tell you you're God, so on, puff you up in different ways, do anything for you. Because what is it? A conscious person can deliver. I think of this in relationship to the spiritual world. So there, everything is, you just have to desire it. A Christian just has to desire it, and it takes place automatically. Of course, that's Krishna's potency. But another reason it takes place automatically is because everybody there is waiting for him to say, what do you want me to do? How can I serve you? So as soon as it's there, even before it's there, the devotee wants to fulfill that desire. So a person can do that. Chinta money. Money means, of course, jewels. So everything in the spiritual world is made of chinta. Chinta means consciousness. So chit ananda, the knowledge potency. So everything there is conscious. So the trees can deliver everything, the ground, the animals, everything can deliver. So persons can really fulfill desires more than things. So the yogi learns how to control other people, control their minds. So imagine how proud and puffed up you would be if you had all these powers, how dangerous they are. Imagine how dangerous they are. If you had power to get anything you wanted to, part of our motivation, maybe a strong motivation for spiritual life, is that you can't get what you want. You're always frustrated. You think, wow, this material energy is just always frustrating me. There's got to be an answer. How do I get out of this? Oh, surrender to the Supreme Controller, or the Guru tells us. The problem is you think you're the controller. So the yogi who has this much power, imagine how difficult it is to get out, get rid of that thinking that I'm the controller. So here we see Trinavarta, these big demons in Krishna's Leela, they're the emblems of these things, the wrong thinking. If you want to know how to think the wrong way, just study the demons in Krishna's Leela. So here we see a demon, he's actually competing with Krishna. Of course he doesn't know who he is, but he's competing with him. Bhayam dutiya vinibeshitasya adishavapetasya vipariyo smriti. This is a symptom of material life. When you see duality, when you don't see that everything is Krishna, ultimately, everything has a connection to Krishna, when you don't see that and you think something is for me. I remember there was one morning walk in New Mayapur. The conversation was about giving to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. We should give to Krishna. And one devotee asked, well, Prabhupada, how does the devotee know, well, how much for me and how much for Krishna? And Prabhupada says, everything for Krishna. The devotee wanted a practical answer, you know, like I have to take care of my family or, you know, everything for Krishna, Prabhupada said. So this is the attitude. Even when it's used for ourselves or our family, that also has to have a connection to Krishna. So when you don't see that connection, you don't connect it to Krishna, vipariya smriti, then your consciousness is just backwards. Your consciousness is backwards to what it's supposed to be. In the spiritual world, it's all for Krishna. In the material world, it's all for me. Let me compete with Krishna. But that's a losing proposition, as we're seeing here. This Trinavarta was so proud that he could become like a whirlwind, transform himself into the wind, and go high up into the sky. So he thought, this is pretty cool, I can do this. Who's going to defeat me? Especially this little baby. What's he going to do? Well, of course, he found out. So that's what happens, of course, to everyone. Here, Krishna's defeating, killing Trinavarta directly, himself. But everybody's puffed up with their mystic power will be defeated by Krishna in the end. I like to make this point that people, they're sometimes aghast at all these killing stories in Krishna Leela. I was noticing it myself, I was reading to my 3-year-old granddaughter, and I thought, gee, it's all these books, all these stories are about killing. 3-year-olds, all they hear about is killing. So, there's a lot of killing going on. But Krishna kills everybody. How else do you die? How else does anybody die? Who's in control? It's Krishna. Mrityu sarva harashchaham, he says, I'm death. So he's killing everybody. So no matter what mystic power we have, even we ourselves, everybody has some kind of what you might call mystic power. Just like with each other, sometimes we say, oh, this person does such and such. I could never do that. We say, I could never do that. Somehow their mind is in a certain way that they can do certain things very well. Of course, we all have certain talents. And those are kind of mystical to us, you might say. It's sort of like magic. How an artist performs, or sometimes we look at the deities and we think, oh, look how beautiful the talent of these devotees have dressed him so nicely. I used to dress many years ago as pujari, and I never could do this nicely. So I look and see, oh, look at it. This is mystic power. It's a siddhi because I can't do it. To me, it's mystical how they're able to do it. So we all have some kind of power. Prabhupada says, for example, in the animal species also, There's all, if you look around, you'll see. The birds, of course, they can fly. We can't fly. The squirrels, you watch the squirrels, how acrobatic they are, running through the trees, jumping, and then they land on this little... They all have some kind of power, ability. They display, and that's why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he shows so many things. He said, this is just an example. You get the idea. Sort of what Krishna says to Arjuna. I could keep going, but you get the idea. All of these amazing things that you see in this material world, they're just a little example, just a little spark. But we get a little spark of talent, or a little spark of intelligence, or knowledge. Knowledge is the dangerous thing. Start learning about this world, and we think we know everything. And we have nothing, we have no desire to learn about what might be beyond this world, what's making it all run. We get so absorbed in the details of this world, puffed up with that knowledge. But Krishna will end it. That mystic power that we have, that power to control, we try to increase our power to control, get more and more for ourselves. That'll all be taken away. It will all be. Sannimitte varam tyago vinashe niyate sati. The Chanaka Pandit, he says, everything will be taken away from you. So while you have it, use it for the eternal. Sannimitte. Mitte. Use it as an instrument for sat, for truth, or for the eternal. It's temporary. Tadapya dhruvamartadam. Prahlad says to his classmates, this life itself is temporary, but you can get the eternal with it. That's the power of it. That's the purchasing power of this material life. It's temporary, limited, but you can get the eternal, the unlimited, with this temporary, limited thing. So we also, of course, do that with our whatever powers or talents we have. We use them in Krishna's service. I know in the early days of ISKCON, Prabhupada was pretty much discouraged devotees from learning new occupations or talents or whatever. He said his main message was, whatever you've already learned, apply that to Krishna consciousness. There was one letter where someone wanted to learn how to play the sitar. Prabhupada said, don't waste your time learning how to play sitar. Distribute books, go on Harinam, so on. Use what you have in Krishna's service. So I don't want to sound too fanatical and say you can't learn anything to improve your service to Krishna, but Prabhupada did have this mood. Whatever you have, use that talent in Krishna's service. And that perfects it. That's the real siddhi. That's the real siddhi. That's the real mystic power. If you can use it to get Krishna, what greater power is that? You can control Krishna. You want to control this world, you can control Krishna with whatever you have, if you use that in Krishna's service. Of course, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, whatever your occupation is, you can attain perfection through that. So that's the devotees. It's the opposite of the demons. The demons want to use their power to defeat Krishna, and we want to use it in Krishna's service. As Prabhupada says here, the devotees have all mystic power, of course, not us so much, but the Mahabhagavatas, especially, they can do anything. They can even astound the demons with their power. But they use it only in Krishna's service, not to challenge Krishna, not to compete with Krishna. So the verse again. Trinavarta shantarayo bhatya rupa dharo haram Krishna nabho gato gantum nashakno bhuribhar vrit. Having assumed the form of a forceful whirlwind, the demon Trinavarta took Krishna very high in the sky. But when Krishna became heavier than the demon had to stop his force and could go no further. Any questions or comments? Madan Mohan?
I was thinking of where it mentions the devotee has those powers, but they're not considered very much. I was remembering hearing about the Didi installation, I think it was, and was it London? I forgot the details.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Where the throne was falling down in that one?
Yeah,
it held it up.
Yeah, at which, but no pictures were taken, no big article, no thing was written about it. And then actually I was at Parihatti some years back, and there was an extraordinary event that took place there, and it was only a couple devotees, maybe 10, 15 devotees, noticed, and that was it. It just came and went. That Prabhupada was, the Murti was sitting there on the Vyasasan, and tears started pouring out of his eyes in the middle of this roaring kirtan in the Danta temple. And everybody, you know, more and more people came to see, and then it was over. Nobody, you know, was... So I was thinking also for a devotee, when these are things that are like weeds for a devotee. If he has something like that, how to deal with it, it's just like a distraction, something else, he just sees it. And it may be offered to all the devotees, as it mentions here. So that is one of the things that one has to not be attracted to when it's offered.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class. I remember in Mayapur, Harisari Prabhu was telling that he was asked many times, what is the mystic power you have, Swamiji? He says, I turned the Westerner into great Vaishnavas. What more mystic power you want to see? I was very captured. That I always thought that practically when you preach, you really see how hard to bring this soul to devote to surrender to Krishna was the biggest job Prabhupada done. I was going to add to your very nice explanation of Karmi. But the Karmi, Jnani and Yogi, they are gradual progression. I was searching also why these three things are so, even though it's all not aligned with the constitutional nature of the soul. I said the impetus to enjoy is within soul, Prabhupada puts in the seventh canto, Jiva Sukhanishi. Pleasure seeking by nature. We cannot be without pleasure seeking. So that's why karma kanda is the very prominent. And those who are disgusted with karma kanda result, that falling from the heaven, becomes the jnani. So it's a gradual progression. And those who are jnani and endeavoring thoroughly, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that in their process they find the loophole. They still have an enjoyment spirit of the material senses, but they don't want to act like a karmi. So they take the advantage of meditation, then they become the yogi. So it's like a one after another. But still the constitutional nature is not developed. That's why devotees are distinct from these karmi, jnani, yogis. Also another point in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada put this, one of the 64 art that Krishna has, quality, speciality. And one of these that he's a yogeshwar, that he produced that... You just read in 11th canto that Lord Krishna explains. So first is Anima. Krishna entered into the heart of all these billions girls in the Ras Lila. So that was very smaller than smallest. And he controlled each of them, be completely with him, not even noticing there is another person dancing next to them. And Lagima, Anima, Mahima, then he on the Trinavarta, Prabhupada put, Trinavarta he exhibited there. And then Anima Mahima, Lagima, he exhibited through the Govardhan Hill, 28 miles mountain, he lifted like a little light, nothing happened. And then Ishita, on the universal form, he put that. And then Bashita, he on the Indra Jagna, how he made him under control completely, the whole, he made paralyzed. And then Prakaima, Kamavashaita, through the flute, he makes everybody fall in love with him completely. Even the dead matter, rivers, Govardhan started melting, Jamuna started freezing. So these are all fully within him. And anybody that do not apply this for pleasing the Lord, then must come under the Jogamaya's arrangement, that they will be killed by Krishna. But when Krishna is killing, he's not killing, he's killing the anarthas. So it is very welcome by the Vaishnavas.
Chivikam? A quick little story on something seeming mystical, and then a question.
Last week, I was driving home. I saw turtle by the roadside, and I stopped and chant the mantra to it. And I rode off. Like an hour later or so, I came out the house, and I saw the turtle coming to the door on the track. And, you know, I mean, I got scared, because, not scared of the turtle, but I thought maybe it was a bad omen, really, some, you know, but that was very, very strange to me, you know. Because it's quite a far way. I left this turtle. I couldn't imagine it traveling all this way, you know, coming. Yeah, I was amazed. So my question now, it seems like all these demons have mystical powers. All of them, really, that we've read of, they have mystical. Are they born with these powers, or do they practice them?
Well, they practice at some point. Maybe they were born with them, but they practiced in their previous life. So I don't know if it says here in relationship to these different ones, but at some point they must have had to practice.
They have to do this. They're like for Anima, one yogi or one sadhak, when he thinks that Krishna is smaller than smallest, then in that form of Krishna, smaller than smallest, he meditate, then he get this Anima. Hmm. Bigger than biggest, then he meditate. And unless he meditation is complete to samadhi, this eightfold, not possible. And by the way, this Srinavarta is a Sahasraksha. The whole life is given, his previous life. In Brahma Vaivarta Puran, that how he became like this. He was a king.
I always have a question in my mind, that why Krishna gives power to people, for example, who wants to harm the progress of Krishna consciousness?
They have free will. Krishna gives whatever we want. That's what this material world is for. We have desires, he fulfills them, but then we have to suffer the consequences of it. So those of us who are, if we're victims of that, there must be some reason for that. That's the material world too. We're suffering as a result of what they're doing, so they're the agents of bringing that suffering out of their own desire. Krishna's not going to stop them. Of course he does in certain cases. He also destroys the demons, as we're seeing here. But in general, he lets things go on. This is the world for rascals. So we're all hanging out here, all rascals. So we're fighting amongst each other, hurting each other. That's the nature of the place. So Lord Krishna lets it go on to a certain extent. So we have to get out of here. That's the solution. He lets the rascals fight with each other until they want to get out. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.